All right, be turning your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. This is the Kansas City Bible Church vision verse for 2019. And our vision is simply obey the truth. Now, you think that sounds simple, right? Yet, somehow today the vast majority of Christians, like the Galatians, have stopped obeying the truth. And that is why this verse is presented negatively in the form of a rhetorical question. You look at the verse, it says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should stop, or that you should not obey the truth?" And although it is presented negatively, there are many positive things we can take from this verse. We're going to see as we come through this message that it is essential to obey the truth if you want to run well, if you want to reject hindrance, and finally, if you want to remain faithful. Just obey the truth. Let's start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get straight into our vision verse for 2019. Lord, I want to thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for this vision. I thank you for putting it on my heart. I pray that we would be faithful to not only receive it today, to accept it as we do all of your word as our final authority, but also to apply it to our lives so that we can remember that we are running a race, that the enemy does want to hinder us, and that it is essential for us to continue to obey the truth if we want to remain faithful all the way until the day that we stand before you. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. It's important to understand right from the beginning, and the first thing that we look at, the first part of the verse when it says, "You did run well." You have to understand right from the very first that that implies that you are running a race. You are running a race. And you need to understand, because there's even a lot of Christians who don't even get that. They don't get the fact that they are in a race, that the race has started. You know, the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it was like the moment that the gun went off, the start gun to start the race. And most Christians are still just sitting there wallowing in their diapers, not understanding that they're even in a race. If you turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Elias actually was reading the verses after, and we'll come to those in a little bit, but in verses 24 and 25, it just states that fact. It helps us to understand that simple, clean, clear fact. Guess what? You're in a race. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize. So run that ye may obtain. And everyone that striveth for masteries is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Now, the fact is that we're in a race. And this verse as well point to an issue of you're running towards something, but we're going to talk more about that in a minute. Just first understand, you're in a race. And every single time, every single Christian has accepted Jesus Christ, they're in the race. They're a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they like it or not. The only question is, they're going to be a good soldier, they're going to be a bad soldier. They're in this race, and they're running it, and the only question is, are they going to be a good athlete or a bad athlete? But they are in the race. You can also look with me to Paul's personal testimony back over in Acts chapter 20. In verse 24, he says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul understood that. He was in a race. And again, here we see him as well point to the fact that he wants to finish it with joy. And the only way to finish the course with joy is to win the race. That's how you run well. Now, you run well by understanding, I've got to win it. Here's the point. In a race, let's say in a race that is a big race or in a sanctioned race, Olympic race, there's one winner. There's one winner. Now, I know in the races like I've participated in, there are participation trophies for everybody. But when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, there are no participation trophies. You will not get a reward for just having run the race. You will only get a reward if you win the race. And there's only one who's going to cross the finish line and win the race, and that's the body of Christ. That's those who are still part, those who are still part of the bride. That's the winner of the race. Everyone else are losers. And, you know, that's kind of offensive. Well, that's kind of a fact. They're losers. They will lose the race. They will lose the prize. The only way to run well is to run to win. To run to finish the race as the winner. That's what Paul was saying. There's one receiveth the prize. So run. You have to run that way. You have to run to win the prize. That's the goal. That's what you have to do. If you're not running that way, you're not running well. And that's a fact. You're not running well if you're not running to win. Now, I want you to think, you don't have to go back to the verse, but what did Paul say to the Galatians? You did run well. There was a time at which they were running well. There was a time when they started out that they were running toward that goal. They saw it, they knew it, they understood it, they were in it to win Christ. You look with me over in Philippians chapter 3. Another verse that was used this morning. In verse 8, Paul establishes very clearly what the prize is. He says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Words that somehow elude the logic of the vast majority of Christians who read that. Somehow, when they read their Bibles, and I'm talking about Christians who even believe that they have the King James Bible, that this is their authority, they look at that verse and they say, "Oh, that the verse says that I will win Christ." That's not what the verse says. He says, again, Paul is saying, personal testimony, that I may win Christ. It's a possibility. So that is why he is running the race as he is running, because he doesn't want to lose Christ. He doesn't want to be a loser at the judgment seat of Christ. He wants to win Christ. That's how you run well. Again, over 2 Thessalonians. We did not prepare these messages together. It's just somehow common verses are essential. You look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14. 13, because again, that's the start of the race. He says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation." The beginning of what? Well, he goes all the way back to the beginning of the world, because again, God with his foreknowledge knew about us, but you could apply it in the way of saying, you know what? The beginning of the race. The moment I got saved, boom, that's my time. I'm launching into this. And he says, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You believed the truth at one point. You accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and your race began. And what is the end goal? He says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the finish line. You getting saved is the starting point. You crossing the finish line is you at the judgment seat of Christ, successfully winning the prize and obtaining the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is running the race well. Anything else is not biblical. It's not true. It is a lie. And it is something that is going to get you off course and not able to win the prize. Now, what's interesting, again, coming back to the verse, our vision verse from Galatians, is that he stated again that they did run well. They started off well. And here's what you need to understand. Every single Christian who is truly saved, who has truly accepted the gospel of grace, started off well. Why? Because they had to do what? They had to obey the truth. I mean, the verse itself implies it with the grammar. He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Therefore, implying that the only way to have run well was to obey the truth. You have to obey the truth in order to run well. That's the whole first point. You have to understand that. And these Galatians did run well, even if it was just for a split second, because at one point you obeyed the truth from the very beginning. This is a certainty of fact if you have accepted Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. So right off the bat, the gun went off and you, boom, you were out of the starting gate and you were running. Or what are the, again, the things that they, the chocks? Yeah, okay, boom. Right off the bat, boom. Gun goes off, you're running off. You started it well. You look with me over at Romans chapter 6. And down in verse 17. He says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." So, you were given to this specific doctrine. The Lord, because you were born in this dispensation, praise God for that. Greatest dispensation ever in the history of time. Because, man, we were given a specific doctrine, and we were because we were born here, we have this doctrine. We have access to this doctrine. It's our doctrine that tells us that if we accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we believe that God raised Him from the dead, then guess what? We have the promise from Romans 10:9, we will be saved. It's a guarantee. And you obeyed that. You obeyed exactly what the Word of God said. You believed it, and you obeyed it. You obeyed that truth specifically. So right from the beginning, you can say this is something that applies to absolutely any Christian who's truly saved. They at least started off in obedience to the truth. You look with me also over at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul says, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness." Now, you could take that beyond just salvation. But in the context he's talking about, and you can continue on and see, he's talking about salvation and moving forward. You have to acknowledge, you have to accept, you have to submit to the truth which is according to godliness. That's that form of doctrine. That's ours. That's us in this dispensation. And anyone, again, who has been saved can look at this verse. I don't care where you're at, and say, okay, this is something that's definitely talking to me. You did run well. Because at least from the moment you accepted Jesus Christ, if you did it according to Romans 10:9 salvation, then you obeyed. You started off obeying the truth. And again, that's why he goes into, so who did hinder you? The next point, again, is run well. You have to obey the truth if you want to run well. Number two, you have to understand, you have to obey the truth in order to reject hindrance. He said, who did hinder you? Because I want you to understand something before we even really get into this point. Satan is not preventing you, forcing you to stop running well. He's not forcing you to stop obeying the truth. Understand something. It's the reverse. He's offering you the temptation. He's offering you the distraction. You're making the choice to not obey the truth, to follow his distraction. To allow him to hinder you. Get that through your head. You cannot get to the judgment seat of Christ and say, "It's not my fault. Satan put all these blockades, and you know, God, I mean, it's just, I mean, who am I? I couldn't." You sound like Eve and Adam in the garden. "I turned it to over there, and look over there. This is their fault. It's her fault. It's his fault." No, it's your fault. If you get to the judgment seat of Christ and you have failed, you have nobody to blame but yourself. It was your choice to allow the enemy to hinder you. Now, again, there's going to be a huge penalty, and Galatians goes into that. There's going to be a huge penalty to those who are used of the enemy to hinder people. But I'm telling you, you will have to give an account for yourself for allowing the enemy to hinder you. Satan will hinder you. You do not start this race and Satan goes, "Oh, lost another one. Oh, well, I'll just keep trying to get all these other people from accepting the truth and allow them to merrily run the race without any kind of persecution or distraction or anything whatsoever." No, he's going to throw anything and everything at you he possibly can. And the problem is that most Christians are like kids who have ADHD. They're running the race. Dun, 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 dun. It's my Chariots of Fire, yes. Dun, 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 dun. And they're running the race, and then it's like, ooh, candy. Dun, 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 dun. Mmm.
candy. They're not focused on the goal. They're not focused to continue, as Elise was saying, to press toward that mark. So they get so easily distracted by the little hindrances and the distractions. And none of them are candy. Some of them are pain and persecution. And they allow those things to keep them from running the race. But know this, of a certainty, Satan will hinder you. If you are running the race well, you are not out of the woods until you cross the finish line. You're still in the thick of things, and the enemy is going to hinder you. Look with me over at Hebrews. As Paul uses this analogy even here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." It's a simple analogy, because it's the only way for anybody to run a race. And it applies, you could apply it to anybody in any dispensation. But we have a specific race that we are running, with a specific goal that we want to win, with a specific end game that we're wanting to get to. And so to do that, we have to run the race well. And if the enemy is throwing up obstacles or distractions or things that thus so easily beset us, so many Christians give into that and get distracted, get pulled off course. But the enemy is going to do it. You look with me also over at Galatians. Back over to Galatians. He rebukes them even in a harsher tone back over in chapter 3 and verse 1. Where he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Now, notice he did not say, "Oh, you poor Galatians. I understand it's so hard for you." No. "You foolish, you big bunch of fools. Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you." Again, he's going back to the fact that you did accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then he goes in the succeeding verses there, laying out the fact that, guess what? I know for a fact, because you're only saved if you did begin this by faith. If you truly did accept Jesus Christ, believing in what He did and trusting in the Spirit and not doing something by the works of the flesh. He goes, "So I know you started well, so who bewitched you?" Bewitchment, again, is something that directly focuses on the reality that this is a source coming from Satan. This is a source coming from the enemy who's trying to get your mind clouded and confused. Listen, again, like I said, you cannot say Satan has forced me out of the race. He may do some awful things. You may basically get a broken leg and say, "Well, I can't run anymore." Can you crawl? How bad do you want to win? How badly do you want that prize? I said, "Well, it's not fair. Other people didn't get broken legs. So what? Crawl on your hands and knees." "Well, then he broke my arm." "You still got one arm." "He broke my arms and my legs. I can't possibly be expected to do that." "Does your head still work? Can you crawl with your head?" I'm thinking Naruto. Can you? How badly do you want it? How badly do you want to win the prize? Again, you cannot say anything is his fault. He's the source. He's wanting to do it, and he'll throw everything at you possible. But trust me, it's still your choice. How badly do you want that prize? Look with me also over at Ephesians chapter 4. Right after again, the overall vision verse for the church in verse 12, it tells us again, the end goal is what? In verse 13, to get to the judgment seat of Christ and win Him, to be able to have that same stature, the fullness of God, fullness of Christ. He says in verse 14, "But right here, right now, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Notice here he did not say whereby they may lie in wait to deceive. He says, "whereby they lie in wait to deceive." He's going to attack you. He's going to use people, he's going to use anybody he can to influence you, to pull you off course. And that is why, as you see in the second point, subpoint of this main point here of rejecting hindrance, is that you have to reject anybody who's used of the enemy to do so. If somebody is being used of the enemy to try to pull you off course, you cannot allow them to do it. Listen to me very carefully. There is not a single person on this planet who is worth losing the Lord Jesus Christ for. And I say that as a person who has people who I love dearly in my life. And I want them to say the same thing. Listen to me. I am not worth you losing the Lord Jesus Christ for. If I got off track, do not follow me off track. And I would say that to my own wife. And she knows it's the same thing. She, again, who I love with my whole heart. But guess what? If she refused to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and stopped submitting to Him, I am not going to lose the Lord for her. You need to think in your life, if there's anybody or anything, whether we're talking about a parent, whether we're talking about a sibling, whether we're talking about a child, whether we're talking about a spouse, a friend, it doesn't matter. If you could say, if this person stopped following the Lord, I wouldn't be able to keep following because I couldn't lose them in my life. Guess what? Danny went, cha-ching. I found their weakness. I'm going to take them down by taking out that other person, and then they're going to follow in suit. Nobody is worth losing the Lord for. And if there is anybody, and that may sound noble, that may sound romantic, that may sound like, oh, you know, but I love this person. So you don't understand how much I love this person. No, you don't understand how much God loves you. And you clearly don't love Him the way you need to in order to win Him. Let nobody be used of the enemy to pull you off course. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 14. It's one of those verses again that so many people are like, and listen to me, I have had people tell me directly, I'm sorry, what you're asking is too much because I cannot let go of the people who I love in my life. Really? First off, you understand, I'm not the one asking you that. And God isn't even asking you that. Are you ready? God is commanding you that. You look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Do you not? I hope you can see that. We're going to be talking more about this in a minute. Going through the Word of God, it is important for you to be able to understand simple grammar differences. There's a lot of important things to understand about grammar, but one thing is, everything is generally written in either a statement or a question or a command. It's one of those things. You need to be able to identify what are the commands. This is a command. It's a conditional command if the condition is if any man obey not the word. And notice again, it says any man. That means anybody. And man in the general sense of mankind. So this applies to women as well. If anybody doesn't obey the word, if they're choosing to stop obeying the word of God, God Himself commands you. He says, our word by this epistle, note that man. You figured out, okay, this is what's happening. They're not in submission to the word. And have no company with him. That is a command from the word of God. Not from me, but God. You're commanded not to have company with them. And he says, that he may be ashamed. Now again, the end result, the end goal, you can go into the next verse, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. It's not because you're trying to punish that person, it's because you want them to snap out of it. You want them to get on track to be able to win the prize as well. But do not allow that person to pull you off course. Your Lord and Savior is more important than they are. That is a fact from the Word of God, and if you cannot acknowledge that, then again, you're telling God, I think I'm wiser than you. I think I'm more compassionate than you. I think I know better than you, God. This is a command from God to you. You look with me also over at 1 Corinthians. And I could take you, let's go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I could take you through a whole bunch of verses. There are many, many, many verses that show that fact. I chose that one specifically out of all the verses that show that we are not to have fellowship, not to have company with people, because it said that they are not to, if they are not obeying themselves. Again, and we're talking about what? Obeying the truth. But understand something. In this race that you are running. The only question is, are you running well? And if you're only, and you're only running well if you're running toward the prize by obeying the truth. Please understand something. That the enemy, like I said, is going to throw everything at you, including people whom you care about. And that is why Paul says, and you continue on where we left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 26 and 27, where he says, I therefore so run. He says, not as uncertainly. I know exactly where I'm headed. I know exactly what the goal is. That's my end game. And then look what he says. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm in a battle. This is warfare. When you're running this race, it's like one of those death race matches. I mean, the enemy is trying to take you out. This isn't, you know, you could say, because, well, let me put it this way. It's like the Olympics in the fact that there are many rules, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. And you have to obey those rules. You do. But guess what? The enemy will not obey those rules. You cannot expect people to be running with a sense of honor and that the enemy is going to come in and not do anything that would violate any of the rules. No, the enemy will do absolutely anything and everything to take you out. This is a battle. And Paul says, continuing on, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The any means there are the means that the enemy is going to use. By any means that he's going to use everything and anything to keep me from being able to obtain it. So I have to keep focused. I have to remember that Jesus Christ is the most important thing in my life. That winning Him is the most important thing in my life. Nobody and no other thing takes any more precedence than that. If that is not your focus, the enemy has an easy target on you. He has an easy target because all he has to do is figure out what is the thing that they're not willing to give up to be able to obtain that prize and then present you with that thing. Or what suffering or what sadness or what pain can I inflict that will keep them from winning the prize? If there's fill in the blank, he will fill in the blank. He's going to throw at you everything. This is spiritual warfare. You have to, again, keep obeying the truth. And so that's why the third point here is just obey the truth. How do you keep from being hindered? You keep obeying the truth. You just say no. Because the bottom line is, no matter what they throw at you, no matter what it is, it always comes up to an option. Here's your choice. It's choice time. Are you going to keep focusing and running the race well, or are you going to allow the enemy to pull you off course? It's your choice. And if you at that moment say, you know what? I hate what this is costing me. I hate whatever this is that I'm having to go through. But you know what? I love the Lord Jesus Christ more than that. And so my decision is just obey the truth. And if whatever consequences happen as a result of that, that's not my goal, as people will try to throw in your face. Look, you're trying to cause division. You're trying to hurt people. You're trying to carve up, you know, the body of Christ. You're trying to make people suffer and hurt people. No, that's not my goal. My goal is obedience. I will continue to obey. And if the consequences happen temporally around me, fall apart, I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep obeying. It's just this simple mantra, just obey the truth. And when the choice time comes, if you make that choice, then you'll still be running well. You'll still be heading. You will not have allowed the enemy to hinder you. You will have rejected that hindrance.
You look with me back over at Galatians. Well, actually, just go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. You're familiar with this verse as well. Galatians 1:10. Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." You see, Paul understood, again, the only way to please God is not to try to please men. I have to obey God, which pleases Him, and then I try to persuade men. I'll try to persuade them. I'll try to get them to see the truth. But if they reject it, I'm still going to obey. I'm sorry if that offends you. I am very... Actually, you know, I'm not. Because I hope that it actually does, because you need to see that this is the only way to be able to win the prize. But it is not my intention to cause conflict. It is not my intention to cause anybody else any pain. Please understand, my intention is to obey God. My intention is to obey God so that I can win the prize. Please come along with me. Please join me in this race. And you can finish and cross the line with me. It's not a me versus you kind of a thing. We can all link together as part of the body and cross the line together if you'll do so. If you won't, sorry, see ya. I'll see you at the judgment seat. That sounds so cold and so harsh. Listen, it's actually the best possible chance they have of accepting the truth. But you need to worry more about your relationship with the Lord than what happens with them. Trust me, you staying on course is their best chance. Their absolute best chance. But the choice is still theirs. You need to first make the right choice. And don't think like so many Christians, oh, you know what? I'll just get off course just a little bit to try to pull them back on. Yeah, that has always worked out so well. Because I have seen time and time again, when they try to just veer off just a little bit to try to pull them back on, guess what happens? The enemy just goes, and pulls them even further and further and further off course. Why? Because they made the choice to not keep the Word of God as their final authority. To not just keep obeying the truth. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 5 through 7. Paul says, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater have any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God." Again, he's talking to Christians here. He's talking about you don't get his inheritance. That's Christ's inheritance, and you don't get any portion of that. You have yours, just like Elias was laying out earlier. You have yours. That is your salvation. You can't lose that. Praise God for that. But guess what? This is his inheritance, and I need to be a joint heir with him in order to get that inheritance. And so therefore, I have to be faithful when I stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. But look at what it says. Continue on. "Let no man deceive you with vain words." Remember, they are lying in wait to deceive you. And they want to tell you, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about the judgment seat of Christ. You don't have to worry about any kind of thing of any kind of consequence. Don't worry about it. He says, those are vain words. The Word of God says, those are vain words. He says, "For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of" what? "Disobedience." They're in disobedience to God. And look at the next verse he says. If somebody was still trying to think, well, this isn't really talking to Christians. Look at what he says in the next verse. "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Which means you could be. You could be a partaker with the children of disobedience by what? By disobeying. If you too disobey, you will partake of God's wrath. You say, well, wait a minute, but I thought, you know, I can't lose my salvation. Yeah, but there's plenty of sorrow and shame to be had at the judgment seat of Christ. Destruction when everything burns. You think God is going to be pleased when he sees everything that you've built burn at the judgment seat of Christ? No, he's not going to be happy about that. That's not going to please him. It's not going to satisfy him, and you will not reign. Don't be partakers with the children of disobedience. Don't disobey along with them. Keep obeying the truth. Just obey. One more reference for this, if you look with me over at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Paul says, "And if any man also And if a man, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, again, like I said, the enemy is going to break the rules. But if you break the rules, you stop obeying the rules, you will not be crowned. Do you understand? You have to obey the truth. And what are our rules? Our rules are what the Word of God has laid out for us specifically. A few years ago, we went through this procedure where every week we worked on writing out in journals every single command that is given to us in the Pauline epistles. These are our rules. These are our laws for running the race. Okay, if we want to win the race, we have to obey the rules. Like I said, the enemy's not going to obey the rules, but if you want to win, you have to obey the rules. What we're going to do this year, we're not going to write out every single one, but every Wednesday we're going to go through two chapters a week of the Pauline epistles. And every Wednesday when we get together, everybody is going to, and I'll be posting them on Sunday, what two chapters those will be. And you're going to list out and find one rule specifically that either calls to your attention or that you can say, this is something, you know, that definitely I need to be, well, we need to be applying all the commandments that are given to us. But if there's something that really calls your attention, something that, and why? So you're going to point out what that one is and what it is. Now, trust me, I don't have time to go through it all right now. We'll go through it in detail on Wednesdays. But every week, we'll be going through two chapters at a time throughout the year and looking at, okay, understanding grammatically, is this a command? Is this a statement? Or is this a question? Now, there's subcategories of those. There could be hypotheticals. There could be conditionals. But they're one of those three things. When it's a command, whether it's a conditional command or not, you need to take note. Okay, here's a command given to me. Now, understand this also, that as you go through that and you look at those commands, you need to be thinking inwardly. What is the Holy Spirit trying to tell me? What is He knocking on my heart and letting me know, hey, this is an area you need to work on, or this is something that you really need to be aware of, and take this command to heart. So all you have to do is share one of them. You don't have to write them all out. You don't have to go over all of them, but we're going to, at the beginning of every Wednesday, start by going through and what was the command that you saw, and what was the command that you saw, and what was the command that you saw. And everybody's going to go through and say, okay, well, I found this commandment here. And we'll go through, like I said, well, I'll take the time to talk about, you know, when it says beseech, we accept those as a command. When it says definitely, when it says let this, blah, 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 that's a command. We'll go through all that. So we'll take away any confusion. If you have a question about, wait a minute, I didn't understand if this is a command or not, we can go through that. Well, it'll be a good learning experience, but it'll be something, again, as we go through this year, for us to be paying attention. By the end of the year, we'll have gone through all the Pauline epistles and looked at all of the commandments that are specifically given to us. And specifically taking note of which ones we need to be listening and letting the Holy Spirit remind us of so that we can go through. The memorization verses on Sunday morning, what we're going to be doing is from the previous week, I'll pick somebody who has found a command and I'll say, now on Sunday, what I want you to do is memorize the verse that the command was in. So on Wednesdays, you don't have to memorize the verse every single time. It's only when you're chosen and then you'll be like, okay, then I'm going to memorize that verse for Sunday that contains the command that the Lord spoke to me about. Does that make sense? All right, that's what we'll be doing so that we can, again, remind ourselves, what are these rules? Because if I don't know the rules, if I'm not familiar with them, if I'm not understanding what are the commands that are given to us running this race with Christ as the prize, which is only happening for us in this dispensation, of course. So therefore, we have to look at the commands given to us in this dispensation. Those are the ones we'll be accountable for when we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. If we violate those rules, we will not be crowned. It's that simple. We need to obey the rules. So again, just obey. The enemy's going to try to get you to stop obeying the rules. He's going to throw whatever he can to hinder you. It's still your choice. Just obey. All right, last point. Come back over to the passage. In Galatians chapter 5, and verse 7, ye did run well. Who did? So again, like I said, in review, the only way to run well is to obey the truth. If you're not obeying, you're not running well.
Who did hinder you? The enemy is going to hinder you. But you don't have to give in to that hindrance. If you just keep focusing on obeying the truth, then you're not allowing him to hinder. You're rejecting that hindrance. You're putting aside that weight that doth so easily beset you. You're not allowing it to slow you down or hold you back or get you off course. And then he says, finally, that you should not obey the truth. It's a very sad question. Because the way that he states the question implies that they have stopped obeying the truth. That's grammatically what is being laid out. And the Galatians did obey at one time. They were running well at one time. Satan hindered them. They allowed him to hinder them. And they stopped obeying the truth. So what does that mean? They did not remain faithful. The only way to remain faithful as you're running this race is to keep obeying the truth. No matter what. You just keep obeying the truth. Don't become like the Galatians. Don't give in to what the vast majority of Christians have done today and stop obeying the truth. Just keep obeying. How do you do that? First off, you submit to the Word. It's like, well, what truth? What the truth that the Word of God has given to us. You must submit to it as your authority. Let it be what is commanding you. Turn with me back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and down in verse 37. Paul says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Of course, he's having to say this to the Corinthians because they're not acting like what Paul is writing to them are God's commandments. Like I said, that's why we're going to focus on that this year, that we're going to look at specifically what are these commandments that we need to be paying attention to. You need to first understand that if you see a command from Romans to Philemon, that is God commanding you. That is God telling you this is what you're accountable for when you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. This is our law. We're not under the Old Testament law. We're not under the law of Moses. But you need to look at this as Paul referred to it as the law of Christ. This is our law. These are the commandments that are given to us. I must submit to them as commandments. Not judge them. Not determine well, but not in this situation. Well, like I said earlier, reading from 2 Thessalonians 3:14 to decide, well, but this person is too important to me to obey that command. No. Just obey the truth. Has to be the focus, has to be the mantra, so that we can what? Run well, reject hindrance, and remain faithful, so that we can win the prize. Look with me also over at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, an appropriate time to use this verse, I thought. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. If you truly believe it to be the word of God, accept it as the word of God. Submit to it as the word of God. We rightly divide, we understand what does and what does not apply to us doctrinally. What we will be held accountable for at the judgment seat of Christ are the commandments given to us in the Pauline epistles. That is what God will say, did you obey? If your answer at the time is no, well, there goes something else that burned. Did you obey here? No? And hopefully, it's not all burnt up. Listen, every single day, we need to remember, it's a simple mantra. Obey the truth. Obey the truth. Every day, whatever the Word has commanded me, I will obey. It's that simple. You look with me over at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, because the reality is, that there are so many people who start off jumping out of those stocks, or blocks. Okay, blocks. Jumping out of the blocks. You can tell I was not a track star in high school. Jumping out of the blocks and running incredibly, just lightning fast, tearing out down the track. And then something happens. Listen, not just
the Christians who have no clue that they're in a race. The gun goes off, they're just sitting there. Not just the Christians who are easily taken out along the way. There are so many Christians who knew how to rightly divide, knew what commands they're going to be accountable for, and somehow the enemy is still able to get them off focus. No matter what, no matter who, keep obeying the truth. Keep submitting to the Word of God, no matter what. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verses 5 and 6, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. To obey Him, every single thought. Obey Him. Obey the truth. Every single thought. Thinking something that's not according to the truth, cast it down. Get rid of it. Shut it out. That doesn't belong. It's not. It should not be here. My goal, my focus, is to obey the Lord in everything He has commanded me. He says in the next verse, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. It's like, oh, that thought, oh, I shouldn't have been thinking about that. You know, cast it down. I said something that wasn't according to the Word. I didn't defend it according to the truth. Whatever the case may be. You know what? I'm going to make it right. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to obey in everything. Because the thing that you allow, the thing that you permit, the thing that you say, this is okay, that isn't according to the truth of the Word of God, is the enemy's avenue in to keep you, to stop you, to get you off course, to hinder you because you chose not to obey. And therefore to get you off course and to stop running well. Everything in obedience to Him and the commandments He has given to us. Paul says over in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 12, this is one of those that I always don't just look at it historically as Paul writing this to the Philippians. I think of it directly as Jesus Christ speaking to me. As He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You're saved. It's not working for your salvation. It's out of your salvation. You're out of the blocks. You're running the race. You're on the course. You have obeyed. Now keep obeying, especially in my absence. Just keep focusing with fear and trembling, knowing that the enemy is going to throw anything at me he can, and that if I allow that to distract me and to pull me off course, I'm going to lose Christ. I will lose Him. Just like Michael was talking about the certainty of you're going to die. You are going to die. This is a simple fact. Unless you're taken out by the rapture, you're going to die. Guess what? If you allow the enemy to pull you off course, you're going to lose Christ. You have to keep obeying, no matter what. No matter who. Keep obeying. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Well, what is that well-doing? Again, it's not, like one of the guys was saying this morning, about doing good deeds in the eyes of society or whatever. It's about doing that which is according to the truth of the Word of God. Running well means obeying the truth. Doing well is obeying the truth. And don't get weary in that. Whatever the enemy throws at you, don't get weary in it. Keep obeying the truth. For you will reap if you faint not. But if you faint, you won't reap. This is a promise from the Word of God. But guess what? It's a conditional promise, just like so many others. If you faint, you don't get to reap. It will just burn at the judgment seat of Christ. Don't faint. Stay strong in your relationship with the Lord. That's why we talk about, just like the guys were talking about, building you up in your relationship with the Lord.
That's the focus. That's why we come together, to give you strength through the truth of the Word of God, growing in your knowledge of Him, growing in your relationship, so that you stay strong, not in your strength, not in your flesh, but in the Spirit, so that you can withstand all those attacks that the enemy is throwing at you. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how much, again, that temporarily you may want to get off course for the sake of whatever or whomever, doesn't matter. Stay strong in your relationship with the Lord and don't faint. Just keep pressing, keep pushing, keep focusing on that goal, keep obeying. Look with me also over back over at Philippians, of course, chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. And obviously, Elias was focused very much on verse 14, but he focused in specifically on the thing that I always like to point out in regards to verse 13. Picking up in verse 12, he says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." There's so much already in this first verse. The fact that Paul, who has done so much for the Lord, is saying, "I haven't yet apprehended. I'm not there yet. And that my goal is to achieve the thing that God saved me to achieve, to obtain that which I was... This is what I got saved for." Again, the race went off. Boom, the race started. This is the goal. And Paul says, "You know what? I'm just trying to get to that goal." I mean, he narrows it down by the next verse by saying, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Again, Paul, who, as I said so many times, was at this point used of the Lord to write Scripture, used of the Lord to give truth and commands that are given to us in this dispensation, used of God to lead so many people to Christ that can't be counted, to plant churches, to train leaders. This was an incredible man of God who had accomplished an incredible amount of things, and yet still he's like, "I'm not there yet. I haven't crossed the finish line. And so my goal in this race," he says, "but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Jesus is the prize. I'm pressing toward that mark. That's the one thing I do. Everything else is just a result of that. Preaching truth, getting people saved, starting churches, training up leaders. All of that comes as a result of the fact that I'm pressing toward the mark. And I'm not going to stop pressing toward the mark for the sake, as some people say, of some of those other things, of getting more people saved. If you wouldn't just so focus on the doctrine, on the rules that you're saying for this, then maybe more people would accept Christ. No. But don't you care about their eternal souls? Sure I do. But you know what? I care more about me winning Christ than them spending eternity in hell. That just sounds shocking. Wait a minute. You're saying that you would rather you be able to reign as part of the body of Christ and part of the bride for all of eternity and allow them to go to hell? You know, Paul demonstrated in Romans chapter 9, I'm not going to get into it right now, but that he was willing, for the sake of people he cared about so much, to give that up so that they could be saved. That's an incredible love. It's not that he was willing to go to hell so that they could be saved. That's only a love that Jesus Christ shares. But you had better be focused so much, so intently on loving Him. Because I've seen it so many times. People who try to sacrifice that so that they can get somebody saved, and it doesn't even work. They don't get saved. Because you sacrificing that tells them that they are more important than you obeying the truth. And so that they don't even accept what you're trying to tell them to begin with as far as how to get saved. Why should they, again, if you disobey God in this thing, choose to obey Him and how to be saved? You have to be firm and for certain on every single thing. I will win Christ. It is the most important thing in my life. And if, you know, you accept the truth, praise God. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't. But I'm not going to allow you to pull me off course. And if we're talking about Christians, again, I want you to reign with us. I want you to be there with us. That's my goal. I hope that happens. I do. But me winning him is more important than you. I'm sorry if that's offensive to you. Again, I'm not really sorry. But I'm just trying to, again, not sound like a jerk. But I will submit to the truth. That is the most important thing. And I will obey him. And nothing and nobody is worth losing what he wants for me to obtain. That was Paul's focus. That was his goal. Listen, you've got to have that kind of a focus every single day. Keep obeying the truth so that your end testimony can be just like that. Look with me back over at 2 Timothy, just like Paul says. Remember, we saw at the beginning, his goal was to what? Finish his course with joy. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Do you think he could say any one of those three things if he had stopped obeying the truth? And please understand, even when I was talking about Paul's willingness to lose that, he would never stop obeying in order for somebody to be saved. Paul would never stop obeying God so that somebody would be saved. He might be willing to, again, give that up so that the people who he loved might be able to get saved. But he wouldn't give it up by disobeying God, so therefore he's not going to give it up. It would never happen. Paul is saying, you know what? I finished my course. Why? Because I obeyed the truth. I fought a good fight. You can't say you fought a good fight if you didn't obey the truth. I have kept the faith. You can't say you kept the faith if you stopped obeying the truth. Paul finished the course with joy because he kept obeying the truth. The truth that has been committed to us, the commands given to us were paramount. They were the most important thing. Because Paul understood, I'm going to give an account when I stand before God for these things. He says, again, the next verse, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. It's for us as well. And again, I will say the final thing here, you cannot say that you love his appearing if you're not obeying him. I mean, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's the demonstration of your love for me. Now, the commandments that the Lord has given to us are unique. They're doctrinally distinct. They were given to us through Paul, but they're still his commandments. And so I can say right along with that, if you love him, keep his commandments. You will not stand unashamed at the judgment seat of Christ if you do not continue to obey the truth. This year, we're also going to be coming through a very specific book. A book that gives us many examples of people who were obeying, and many of them who unfortunately stopped obeying. So it was a very appropriate book for the Lord that He laid on my heart. We're going to be going through 1 Samuel. And every single time we're going to see, time and time again, the focus on obedience. Simply choose to obey. Obey the truth. Like I said, it's a vision, it's a mantra, it should be a way of life for every single one of us as we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for the truth of your word, and I pray right now again that we would be faithful in obeying the truth. Lord, I thank you that your word is so clear, that it lays it out for us without any confusion whatsoever. That by rightly dividing, we understand exactly what are the commands that are given to us that we will be accountable for when we stand before you. Help us to keep obeying. Just like we started when we accepted Romans 10:9 salvation, the gospel of grace, help us to continue to obey and to not be distracted by the hindrances that the enemy is going to throw at us, will continue to throw at us until the day that we stand before you. Let us every single day continue to make that decision to obey the truth so that we can stand before you unashamed. I ask all this in Jesus' name.